I'd like to see a show of hands. For those that have packed for a trip that has lasted more than a week. Wow, that's a lot of you. Now, how many of you have traveled multiple times, both domestically or overseas, for more than a week? Still a lot of you. And I imagine that you have learned how to pack for your travels for over a week. And of the two of us, between Joan and myself, Joan, who has traveled the friendly skies, has become the more worldly traveler than myself, having worked for an airline that shall remain unnamed. And if you didn't guess by the friendly skies, she's become somewhat of an expert on how to pack for long trips, just like some of you have. Interestingly enough, for our honeymoon, both of us working for the airline decided to take a trip down the coast rather than to fly off to some exotic place. 2 weeks of the two of us in a tiny little sports car convertible, traveling day to day, not knowing where we're going to end up. Her feeding me cake and me just enjoying the wind in my hair, and I had more. Now, because of my inexperience on traveling, I wasn't well versed on how to pack for 2 weeks' worth of stuff. Let me show you what I brought along on this honeymoon. Don't go anywhere.
I packed that with everything I thought I would need for 2 weeks. Going in a small convertible. Really small convertible. Now, let me show you what Joan packed for the 2 weeks. She packed the things that she needed. I was a little jealous at the time. Only because her pack took up a small space in that tiny little trunk, and my suitcase took up the whole back seat. Now, I had to bring the top down to get it out of the back seat almost every day. It was a production. Now, since that trip, I have learned to pack smarter, more efficiently, lighter, so that I don't take up so much room. In fact, she gave me this suitcase to take. I've also taken my mother-in-law's advice that if I need it but I didn't pack it, chances are the place that I end up is going to let me buy it. And what's interesting is that Rick Steves, he has this website. He's a local guru, and if you don't know, he's got a show on public broadcasting. And he also has a shop in Edmonds called Europe Through the Back Door. And on his website, he writes this about packing correctly and how it's important when you're traveling. He says this: the importance of packing light cannot be overemphasized, but for your own good, I'll try. You'll never meet a traveler who, after 5 trips, brags, "Every year I pack heavier." The measure of a good traveler is how light he or she travels. You can't travel heavy, happy, and cheap. It would seem that, really, Rick actually took his cues from another travel advisor, Jesus of Nazareth, who preceded him by some 2,000 plus years. Jesus, we find today, is giving 70 disciples their itineraries and travel trips for when they go out into the mission field. Personally, I think Jesus was a travel agent, not a carpenter. If not, he should have been one. Seems like he's booked the most wonderful of trips for them. They're going to go out as laborers. They're going to go out as lambs among the wolves. And they're going to be proclaiming the most important words in the world, that the kingdom of God is at hand. How does somebody pack for something like that? Now, Rick, our travel guru, we're going to go back to him. The answer is simple. Pack very little. Think in terms of what you can do without, not with what will be handy on your trip. Jesus advises them to do that very thing, to travel light, to take no purse, no shoes, no bag. In fact, really what he's saying is, don't take those usual comforts that you expect on a trip. So, no money, don't take any extra clothes. No, you don't get luxury hotel accommodations. No, you don't get to use Priceline. You know, to be honest with you, if you think about it, he's sending him out practically naked. I mean, how many people can really travel that light? No shoes, no purse, no extra money, none of that. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't think I could pack that light. My essentials are medicine and underwear and socks, just in case. Instead, Jesus tells them to take one thing. One thing. Peace. This isn't the kind of peace that you're going to see in the Webster's definition of peace. We're talking the peace of God. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Can you imagine the shock on the disciples' faces when he tells them this? Bring peace? Seriously? Come on. Jesus, you just told us that you're going to be sending us like lambs among the wolves. How do you expect us to only bring peace in that kind of environment? I'm not signing up for that kind of thing. But take for a moment and imagine what it would be like if we did travel with one thing, with peace on our lips. How much more joy would we have? And how deep would our relationship with God be if we only travel with peace? I have the question. The elders of the church that put these texts together today. And if you look in your bulletin, you'll see, I think it's, Psalm 66? They've got it wrong. Personally, I think it should be Psalm 23 in there. Because this is the peace that Jesus is talking about. This is the peace that God gives. Where God takes care of our wants. Leads us through the still pastures, beside the still waters, restores our souls, where God's staff and rod comfort us, even in the darkest of our times. This is the peace that goes to our very core of our being, filling and replacing all this minutia that we think we might need and filling it with something else. And this is what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples, that in order to have the peace of God, that we should live and walk by faith. Living by faith is not having the best hotel reservations and having the best things for when we do travel, nor is it having another person make us feel good before we go out and help others. Living by faith means that I'm going to do the work of God first. Then God is going to see to my needs. And it's not an easy way to live, so that we can experience the peace of God. We want answers
to what troubles us today. And that's part of the reason why we come to church. We have the expectation that maybe the choir or the preacher or the cantor, maybe the ushers or the acolytes, the assisting ministers, we expect them to be our gurus in how to live life, to rev us up, to give us some kind of artificial excitement in order that we can feel better about ourselves. But all the while, we're holding on to our baggage, filled with the things that we think we need to get by day by day. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. To truly know joy and peace and to help empty your bags, it comes from having a relationship with God through Christ every day. We come here not to sing, not to say the right things, not to demand from God peace to enter into us, but it's to give voice and expression to the power of having a loving relationship. We come to church to thank Christ Jesus, who is with us and helping us unpack our bags, to journey with us as we go out amongst the wolves. In the night and the day, the sunshine and the rain, the good times and the bad, until the day that we die. For the sake of his love for us, to have this relationship with God, Jesus does not travel with us lightly. Jesus manages to do the very thing that Rick Steve says not to do, to travel heavy, happy, and cheap. Because Jesus does the extraordinary by taking on our baggage, the baggage of the entire world filled with our sins. And he does it in the most expensive way possible by suffering death on the cross. So that in his resurrection, we can be set free to be truly human and find ourselves filled with such peace that we can't contain it, nor can we comprehend it. As we come to this table today, we come with our suitcases packed with what we have stuffed in them for the week. When you eat the bread and you drink the wine, by God's grace, you have the power to cast off all that excess baggage in your life, to get rid of all that clutter, to put trust in the Lord, to commit your life to God's work, and be blessed in ways that you cannot even imagine. And then you'll be ready to go back out to wherever God takes you to minister to those that don't know that freedom of traveling light. The disciples got it when they came back from their mission trip. They got it knowing that they were only armed with peace. They found joy in that. They experienced a fulfillment that stems from traveling lightly and proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God is near. And with all the divine backing of God. And if you don't know, that's a lot. They had the spiritual authority that comes from just taking the risk and doing God's will, armed with peace. The personal security that derives from carrying out what Christ has asked us to do, even when we're afraid to yield those things in our life. But if we take that risk and we do what is right, if we yield ourselves, if we pack lightly, then we can face our demons and help others face their demons, and they will submit. And because I have peace and joy of Christ,
I can leave those bags behind. I can go out packed with peace and knowing that I'm going to have everything I need to go out into the world amongst the wolves. And so I leave you this one thing, and here's my travel tip from you, and I'm going to take it from Paul in his letter to the Philippians. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.